you're going to look at me.
Rush, in 5, 4, 3...
Welcome to Working Musicians, a feature of theworkingmusician.com. My name is Roger Z. I'm your host, and it's great to do this standing up. Usually I'm sitting down. Today, I've got a whole studio full of fantastic musicians, A-level, major label musicians. Jim Hickey, who's the leader of the group. It's called Jim Hickey and Friends. Joe Pitio on drums. Kip Sofis on bass. And Paul Maraconda on keyboards. And I got to tell you, guys sounded great during sound check. I'm so happy to have you. Jim, you know, sometimes everything in life is where you happen to be. I managed to drag my butt out to Curtis Winchester and Gil Paris's jam session like a couple of Wednesdays ago. And I guess Gil was ill. He couldn't make it, so they called you.
Yeah, it's an ongoing thing, and it's the gig itself has its own community. It's an expanding circle of players that's getting bigger all the time. I think it's been going on now for the past, I don't know, several months, right? I guess close to a year.
Years.
Years. What was nice was I got to hear you and your take on, I mean, basically the opening set is Curtis doing kind of soulful R&B type tunes.
Yeah.
And you were playing kind of interesting jazz chords on it.
Yeah, that sounds like something I'm new.
And it really reminded me of Joni Mitchell's Hegira record. And we talked about that. So I was intrigued. So the next day I got on the phone, I tracked you down, hunted you down.
Curtis. I called from nowhere.
Well, I called up Curtis because I don't remember your whole name. But why don't you tell me a little bit about your background?
Well, I'm a native New Yorker, and I've been living here now and working here now all my life. And
that long?
Yeah. And these fellows here are people that are, I consider, like, in my circle of players that I see and deal with every week, actually, which is an extension of that gig that you saw me at. And, you know, I keep a varied palette. You know, I try to do as much recording, as much as live playing as I possibly can. And I'm really looking forward to developing this group, because this is one of our first gigs together, and although we've both played together on different occasions. And as far as what the future holds, I mean, most people will agree that the business is changing more rapidly than we ever expected, and I'm looking forward to putting some of this on YouTube and MySpace and wherever else I can post it, which is that kind of a fun communication thing.
What's your bread and butter gig these days?
Well, like I said, it's a variety of things. It's spread out over some recording which is usually background music for television, some live gigs, which is where I met Kip and Joe, and some teaching here in New York, and sometimes even out of the state.
Are you married, Jim?
No.
Okay. I shouldn't have asked that. Most musicians I know have someone they live with, kind of helps things along. I don't know. It's an interesting thing, because the music life is tough. We all admit that, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Just had a gig canceled on me last night, so we've all been through that, right? It's all about the ring on the register at the end of the night, right?
Yes. We got a year.
And what I love is sometimes they'll show you the ring on the credit card machine, which is not the full ring, right? Some people still pay in cash. Anyway, so what are you going to play for us today?
Well, what we've got here is two tunes. Each one is 16 bar length. The musicians out there want to know what the forms of the tunes are. Each one is 16 bars in length. And the first one is called Blue Sea, and it really is rooted in blues. The second tune we'll play is a bossa rock 16 bar tune.
Okay. And you, so these are tunes that you've written.
These are original tunes, and I brought these tunes today because they work well on gigs, especially when I'm working with people meeting for the first time, and they want to see something that they can read and play and enjoy playing right away. And these tunes, I think, lend themselves to that.
You know, it's amazing because most people who are not in the business don't realize how little bands rehearse.
Oh, absolutely.
And we don't want to tell them, right?
Yeah.
Right? Some guy once told me, he changed my life. He told me, he said, Raj, you can take mediocre musicians, rehearse them to death. You could take the best musicians you find, walk in blind, and that ladder will make you sound 8 times better. So, with no further ado, the Jim Hickey and Friends Experience.
Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Great job. So what are you going to play next for us?
The next thing will be a kind of a bossa rock Latin flavor thing, 16-bar tune, and this is called Circle Vamp, and it is indeed in that.
When you say it's 16 bar, is there like a head, a bridge, a chorus, or just
one? That's a good question. Instead of being separated like A and B and C and D, the whole song is basically just letter A, just repeating in a loop. That's why it's called a circle band.
Okay. Cool. Sounds great.
Okay. We'll begin this by pedaling on D. One, two, one, two, three, four.
Awesome. Awesome.
Thank you.
Jim, what kind of guitar is this?
It's actually a guitar that was made from parts. So it's not really any particular brand. It's just
What's the neck? Looks like a Strat neck.
I think it was, you know. And but the rest of it's just all, like I said, it's parts that were installed or put on, or and that's kind of an unusual paint job.
Well, except Eddie Van Halen.
Yeah. Must have been a trend way back when, but yeah.
It's nice.
Yeah, it has a sense of humor for certain.
It's awesome, especially for a jazz guitar. Yeah. I can tell this is jazz. No one dropped a stick. No one broke a string.
Yeah,
good start.
And it's too cold in here to break a sweat, right?
There's no bed.
So Jim, we were talking earlier, and you were telling me that you used to work with Jaco Pastorius.
Well, no, I mean I
jammed
with him. Well, I met him somewhere in the '80s. I had a gig in a place that he used to actually be in every night of the week, and I met him and Rashid Ali at the same time. And oddly enough, it was a duo gig. I was there 4 or 5 nights a week, and there were times when the only person in the audience would be him. So I actually got to know him, and it was kind of awkward. I used to have to like move his amplifier out of the way, my setup there, and I got to know him. But he used to sit in and play pretty frequently, and he was a lot of fun. He was a very colorful character, and he's a brilliant talent. And I'm glad I got to know him. I was really surprised that I got to know him as well as I did. And I met a lot of interesting people through him, like Delmar Brown and Joni Mitchell. And unfortunately, he was toward the end of his. Life, I guess. His behavior was becoming more and more hard to explain. And the rest is history. But yeah, I mean, we played together a few times there. And actually, the place we played it is in a restaurant, which is still there. It was used to film his instructional video. And I don't know what it's called now, but it was a really nice venue. It was a lot of fun. And yeah, he was a terrific guy. I learned a lot from him. I think generations of bass players and guitar players did. And it's sad that someone so talented to be so eccentric.
I read an article about Jaco once, and it said he's one of the few people who could overplay and still make it sound right.
Yeah, he was, and he liked to play Jimi Hendrix tunes. We played a couple of Jimi Hendrix tunes
together.
He liked to play standards, and he liked to play the piano, which was not really his strength. But I feel very lucky. He's one of those people that are very extraordinarily talented. They just sort of come rocketing through our reality, and they leave just as quick. It's hard to explain how
they burn bright.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he was only been in his early 30s, and I heard all sorts of other stories that went on after I knew him.
Okay, this part of the show, you answer the standard questions. We're running out of time, so I'm only going to ask you one of them, because we're going to do a part two of this show. You guys sound so good. Then we're going to wrap, and then we're going to cut another 27 minutes. So, Desert Island, boombox, and CDs. What would you bring, Jim?
Yeah, I remember you sent me this question via email. I actually did think about it, and it took a lot of thought. I came up with it, but 2 CDs, not a lot of CDs.
You know what? You can give me 3.
All right, well,
give me 4 or 5.
The 2 CDs, that was a challenging question. The 2 CDs, I think one would be Michael Brecker's Quintet record. It's a great record. It's an unusual record. And it's a record that has no piano on it. It's just basically horns and strings. So Michael Brecker's Wide Angles would be one. And the other one, which is a big deal to me, is that the second record that Jimi Hendrix recorded, Axis Fold Is Love.
Yeah.
I think that it's a terrific record, and it's just that can be enjoyed with repeated listenings. I mean, for eons.
But you know, that's
especially on Desert Island.
Well, the funny thing about that record is Jimmy only did one song live from that album. Only put one song in his Spanish Castle Magic. That's the only song that he performed live from that album, which is kind of weird.
Yeah, he's got some things out of that guy. I mean, he has a really very musical touch on the instrument, I think.
I think he pulled a lot from the R&B, Curtis Mayfield.
Oh, sure.
School. So that's awesome. We got 30 seconds. Want to throw another one in?
Another song.
No, another CD to take to Desert Island.
Another CD to take on Desert Island. I would think, Yeah, man, I was a big fan of that album Milestones when I was a teenager. It was like the first like modern acoustic jazz record I played over and over and over again. So I guess that would have to be one. And
by Miles Davis?
Yeah, Milestones, Billy Joe, and, Coltrane and Cannonball Adderley. Good stuff.
Awesome. Want to thank you for coming down, and I'll see you in five.
Beautiful. That's a wrap.
Nice. Very well done.